So as the federal government works to reopen after a late-night vote on a trio of bills in the Senate to break the filibuster, there's still this race going on here in the state of Michigan trying to find out who's going to run for governor. And absent from that discussion has been Donald Trump.
Right.
He's not tipped the scale at all one way or the other.
He's not talking about it.
No.
The one thing we heard was him sort of joking with John James, being like, we kind of need you here.
in the House.
That's the only thing I've heard.
Agreed. And so when does Donald Trump jump in? Does he jump in at all? It's something that Caitlin Buss has been chewing over, and she joins us as the editorial page editor for the Detroit News. Caitlin, good morning to you. Happy Monday.
Hey, good morning. Happy Monday to you both.
Why hasn't Donald Trump taken the steps to endorse somebody or put a bigger spotlight on somebody here in the state?
Yeah, well, like you guys are saying, I think it's actually a little odd. And I mean, I know he's not endorsing like he used to or necessarily in the same way. Like I said, he didn't endorse many governors yet. But given how important Michigan was and, you know, the situation going on with John James, I would think he'd want to get in and help secure the GOP's chances here. Like I said in the column, I think there's two options. Either he doesn't know who he likes yet or he doesn't think he can help here. And both of them are kind of a problem. If he's not feeling confident in any one candidate, which we know that he's not, I've heard from chatter and then also just he hasn't endorsed. That's a big risk for the GOP, right? Because they're basing a lot of their success next year on this, you know, turnout that they got in 2024. Or Trump views his endorsement as a liability, which means the tide has shifted somewhat in terms of the coalition here that could get a GOP candidate across the board. So both things, I think, indicate that they have a long road ahead. Whoever, you know, I moderated a couple debates with this crowd, and you know, whoever emerges from this, I think really needs to step it up at this point. I mean, they have money in the bank. They're not really spending it. You know, we see spending from Duggan. We hear a lot from the Democrats. We're not seeing, I don't think, the caliber of a governor's race yet on the right.
What about maybe it's timing? Because President Trump didn't endorse Tudor Dixon until just days before the primary. Maybe he's going to do it later on.
Sure. Like, that is always a possibility, and he could come in, you know, at the last minute and do it. I don't think that strategy has really proven to work for him. I mean, his endorsement of Tudor worked for the primary. It had, you know, no bearing on the general whatsoever. Tudor lost pretty significantly. So I honestly, I've heard a lot of people say he probably just might not endorse in this race, which, again, I think is a really big deal. I mean, Michigan is important. He'll have to, you would imagine, weigh in on the congressional races here and all of that. So it'll continue to be kind of obvious if he doesn't jump in and back one of these candidates. At the same time, none of them seem to be running specifically for his endorsement. Well, there's a couple that I would say are running really hard to get it. But I think they also understand that this is a bit broader. And certainly to get, you know, the kind of diverse coalition they need behind them, they can't just speak about Trump. So hopefully they don't. I think there's a lot more here to talk about.
It almost feels like you do need to pick some path, though. Like, you need to go down and endorse somebody or not. I mean, the whole idea of, well, maybe we don't, you know, focus a ton of resources on Michigan because we're not sure if we could win, or maybe the endorsement doesn't really play. It feels like you got to pick a lane and go with it, because the money obviously helps a ton and the endorsement would help a ton. I don't know that the middle ground helps Republicans here.
I agree. And, you know, and there's been criticism of John James, but he is, you know, leading in the polling that we have, and he has a close relationship with the president or used to. You know, I think if Trump was really solid on what James is doing, he would have endorsed by now. And I think I get the sense that James feels that way, too, based on some of his online activity and whatnot. I think Eric Nesbitt, you know, somewhat expects to get that endorsement. He's had a closer relationship with Trump over the past year. The other ones, I don't think really expect it to come in. But I agree with you. At this point, Trump should be really trying to help narrow in that money, you know, narrow in where fundraising should go, narrow in where the message should go. So they have a whole year to build it up. If they wait until, you know, the primary, Duggan and the Democratic candidate are going to be way far ahead.
And, you know, some people might be saying, why are we talking about this right now? Well, the president endorsed more than 50 people just last week for candidates nationwide. So that's why we're talking about this now.
Yeah, he issued a slew of them, and he did some governors, you know, once he was pretty comfortable with Sarah Huckabee Sanders, you know, in safe bets. And everyone keeps saying, you know, he's really going with the safe bet now. And, you know, I think that's, I mean, that's smart. It's wiser, but it shows that the power of his endorsement really isn't what people might think it is. You know, earlier this year I was hearing, oh, Trump's endorsement is the gold standard in the Republican primary. And I think that's still true. The problem is, how does that translate to the general? You know, something that's the gold standard in the primary might become the reason you lose in the general. So it's always going to be a tricky line to walk here. And something interesting, I think we're hearing rumblings about 2020 even more than I thought we would this cycle. So it'll be very interesting to see how it all plays out.
Who's relaying all this information to the president? This, you know, whether or not he's going to be able to move the needle one way or the other. Who's delivering?
He's got people for that.
He does talk to people in Michigan a lot. I think in the past he's gotten pretty poor advice. And I think there's a lot of different voices in his ear, perhaps from Michigan. So, you know, I have to say maybe he's trying to be more astute. But I think, you know, I just don't think he has, even us here on the ground, it's not entirely clear, you know, what's always going on here. So I think it's hard to know for sure. But that's why I think they should be spending more time here. I think the administration should be here more. And they kind of said they would be. We'll see if that ramps up. I imagine it should, especially with some tight congressional races. But as we know for residents here, you know, we really care about this governor's race, too.
Yep, certainly. Caitlin Buss, why hasn't Trump jumped into the GOP's governor race? Something we're going to continue to follow. I know you will, too. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you got it. It is curious. It is curious.
Maybe he's just really busy. He was calling a football game last night.
Right. He's very busy.
Yeah.
He's all over the place. He's in Asia. He's trying to reopen the government. There's a lot of things going
Syrian
on.
Syrian president coming.
Yeah, but there is something to be said about, you know, because this is a consequential race, and it could have some ramifications into, you know, where we are on him as a state, where people feel like some of his, you know, the things that he's done, how does it translate, and then who would be the best to carry it out here at the governor's seat. Interesting. 7 o'clock hour coming up is JR Morning.